the not ready for prime time stock market in China, plus a conversation about corporations and social change. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. A popular way for global investors to buy into emerging market countries is the MSCI Index. This is a basket of stocks that includes Brazil, Chile, the Czech Republic, Taiwan. But there's news today that stocks listed in mainland China have been deemed not yet ready for the MSCI seal of approval. Christopher Balding is an economist and professor at Peking University HSBC Business School. Morning to you.
Hi, how are you, David?
Good. Professor, what is the hesitation here about China?
There are a couple of primary issues. One of them is basically investors' ability to move money into investments and then move money out of investments and out of the country if they so choose. The second issue is that Chinese companies have had a habit of suspending their trading so that we have a bunch of companies that have not even traded one share this year, even though we're in June, and there's companies that had suspended their trading for upwards of a year. So this is concerning to international investors, and MSCI essentially decided that China was not ready for prime time based upon these concerns of investors and how China was running its stock market.
But we should remind ourselves, why would Chinese companies want into this index? I think it's because, what, anyone who buys the index automatically buys a piece of some Chinese companies if they ever were admitted.
That's correct. A number of banks have estimated that the inflows into China from MSCI inclusion would result in about $30 billion of additional flows into Chinese equities, which given that most of them are down about 20% so far this year, that would be a nice little boost to the Chinese stock market.
Christopher Balding is an economist and professor at Peking University HSBC Business School in Shenzhen. Professor, thank you.
Thank you very much for having me, David.
Now, stocks listed in Hong Kong are already in this illustrious index, and there's word today that Pakistan has made the cut, with some of the stocks listed there to be included. We're closely watching the too-close-to-call referendum in Britain next week about whether the UK stays in the EU or leaves. The leader of the camp pushing to leave today shared a timeline with the Financial Times. Restrictions on new EU immigrants to the UK could come as soon as possible, with Britain fully extracted from the EU by 2019, according to Chris Grayling, a Conservative Party politician and the leader of Britain's House of Commons. Checking markets, the 100-share index in London this morning is up 0.8%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.25% range. We've been tracking the fortunes of firearms companies in the wake of the horrors in Orlando over the weekend. It was widely noted that day one shares in Smith & Wesson jumped 6.8%. And now that stock has closed down 4.5%. This happened yesterday. Same pattern at Storm Ruger & Company, up 8.5% on Monday on the theory that people will rush to buy firearms amid calls for new limits on firearm sales. That stock then fell 4.2% yesterday, perhaps as those calls for some firearms limits were seen to become louder and more resolute. This week on Marketplace, our series, The Price of Profits, we're taking different angles, looking at corporations. What are they for? And who are they for? We've probed this notion of shareholder value, the received wisdom that the chief goal of a corporation is to maximize its profits for shareholders, often at the expense of everything else. It's a philosophy not shared by all corporate bosses. John Brown is the former CEO of BP, and he's the author of a book called Connect, How Companies Succeed by Engaging Radically with Society. And as he explained it to me, neglecting society with a narrow focus on profits can hurt corporations in the end.
When that bond between the company and society is broken, reputations are damaged, trust is gone, and what's more, what's very important for shareholders, is the value of the company reduces. There's a significant value at stake, which we estimate to be on average about 30% of the value of a company, that is damaged when a company does something which is not right for society.
Now, BP didn't always get it right, even under your leadership. Occasionally, do these big organizations lose sight of this basic precept of pay attention to society?
Everybody loses sight of it, I believe. We certainly did. I certainly did. Companies do live in a bit of a bubble. So I think it's about understanding a context and then making sure you all the things you want to do with people, regardless, they're not just your shareholders or your staff, but all the other people and all the other institutions, aligning them within your strategy and measuring what you're doing about it. While corporate social responsibility was a very well-meaning and worthy thing to have started, it no longer serves a useful purpose in that it is detached from the basics of a business. And it is something which, in the words of one of my friends, that boards of directors only examine at 4:30 on a Friday afternoon.
See, that's a very interesting point you're making. This notion of, hey, companies should also engage in corporate responsibility as a separate item. You think that's going to be a failed strategy?
It is a failed strategy, and it's got to be really integrated with everything the company does in the particulars of that part of the business.
Before we go, the fossil fuel business rather stinks these days with low crude oil prices. You going to stick with it?
Well, I'm only partly in it now. I spent more of my last decade with renewable energy and found it very satisfying and actually very profitable too. I'm doing a little bit of natural gas business, a little bit of advising on oil and gas. Fossil fuels are going to be with us for quite a time. We're in a long transition, however, and the reputation of fossil fuel companies is not good and needs to be improved.
Former BP boss John Brown, his latest book with Robin Nuttall and Tommy Stanlon is called Connect, How Companies Succeed by Engaging Radically with Society. Lord Brown, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.